You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Ramble.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to let you guys know that we are going to have a bonus episode this Saturday. We just had a lot of exciting things happen this week. So look out for that and enjoy this week's episode. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to all our cutie booties. Welcome to You Can Sit With Us. I am Ariel, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Rachel.
Hello.
Becky.
Hi.
And Maggie.
Hello.
And today we have a very, very special guest. Today we have Chef Nguyen with us.
Hello. Good morning.
Chef Nguyen is a Michelin-starred pastry chef, and you recently started your own company called Kirsch Baking Company.
Yes,
mm-hmm. It did. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about your experience. We recently did a video with you, and that is why we have you on the podcast, because we just thought that you would be the perfect person to sit with us and share a little bit of that restaurant tea, because you have such an interesting backstory. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh my gosh. I don't know where to go back. It's been 17
from the
years.
Beginning. Did you always know you wanted to be a chef?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I always knew I wanted to cook. Uh-huh. And to my parents' horror, you know, I'm the youngest of six.
Wow.
Six girls.
Oh my
six
gosh.
Six girls.
Yeah, a lot of opinions in my house.
I'm just going to say, that sounds like a dream.
It is now that we're older. We're all friends, you know, which is great. Aww. But growing up, like I was a little one and I was just kind of hanging out with my mom most of the time. And she'd always be cooking because you're cooking for a family of eight.
Wow.
So
oh my gosh.
Always
cooking
hanging out
around
with her.
The clock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All the time.
And where did you grow up?
In Orange County.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
we
emigrated from Vietnam, though, after the war. So it was like a tumultuous beginning for us. Like we went from Vietnam as refugees. Mm-hmm. Like we took a boat. Like you imagine how today's refugees are from, you know, North Africa. That's exactly what we did. Like it was from Vietnam to Malaysia, where there was a refugee camp. Uh-huh. And it's like this horrible, nightmarish ride in a fishing boat with way too many people.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
wow. So the goal was to get to Malaysia, where there's a U.S. Refugee camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So eventually we got there with six little girls. I was not even a year old. So I was younger than my son.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you
were
a baby.
Yeah. And all six of us made it, thank God.
Kids, like, remember or don't, but, like, your poor parents like, so many little ones.
Yeah. And, like, she was my age. So imagine, like, you're going to another country eventually. It's like if we went to Russia now with nothing in our pockets and just learn the language, learn the culture, learn everything now at our age, you know?
Wow.
So, it was a huge risk and they took it. So, you know, everything's fine here.
It all worked out.
Thank God. Then we landed in Orange County.
Okay.
So I grew up in Orange County.
Okay.
So I was just hanging out, helping her, you know, and I always knew I wanted to cook, even though it was like we did not fight from a refugee camp for you to come and be a cook, right?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Like, are you kidding me, kid? You know, like, and I get it, you know, and I understand why. There's always that ongoing joke where, like, immigrants are supposed to be doctors and lawyers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see their path and their journey, you understand they didn't risk all that for you to cook.
Because to them, that, like, it's something that we all do and it lacks.
Exactly.
Like, they think it lacks like education and prestige.
For sure. And
like,
coming from a third world country, cooking, you cook when you can't read and you don't have education, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's that mindset. It's not like it's a bad thing, but where they're coming from, it is. It's like, we've given you everything. And you want to cook now? We kill you.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the deal was I went to college, right? So I went to college. So they're like, okay, you get a degree. When that everything goes to hell, at least you have a college degree and then you can get a real job. Deal.
Deal.
And then you became the best chef ever.
You're like, just you wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where did you pivot from? So you graduated college with a degree in
International relations.
International relations.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. Get me a real job somewhere.
Yeah. And then where did that go into being a pastry chef?
After I graduated, I went to culinary school.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So double school.
I did college.
Yeah, it was a grad. That was my grad school, right?
Yeah.
Culinary school.
Yeah. And was it pastry culinary school?
It was baking? It was a culinary school.
Okay. So, it was just everything.
Wide umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I went to a school in Paris because mm-hmm. I was referred to by a chef. When I was a freshman, I took a summer job mm-hmm. in a hotel, my first pastry job in the pastry department.
Whoa.
Worst job ever. Worst job. Because I had no experience. So they gave me just the crappiest jobs to do, right? Uh-huh. Like I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be a pastry chef. And no, I come in as the worst intern ever. Like you're going to sit at the buffet station, stand there and scoop ice cream. This is not pastries. This is
What are the worst jobs in the kitchen?
That. Oh my gosh, having to set up the buffet line and stand there for 4 hours scooping ice cream and giving people chocolate sauce. Oh. And then when you're done, you got to clean up the whole thing and push it back to the kitchen.
No,
you can't look at ice cream the same way after that.
No, yeah, it's the worst.
You're I got a degree in international relations for this.
Yeah. The worst. But then my. The chef who was running it at the hotel, he was like, if you're going to go to culinary school, you need to go to the best school in the world. And he's like, you have to go to École des Notes. And I was like, and that's the only thing that stuck to me with that summer job. I was like, I got to go to École des Notes. I have to go to École des Notes. Chef Jean-Francois says, I have to go to École des Notes.
Yes.
So after I graduated, I'm like, I'm going to École des Notes.
Wow. Off to Paris.
Yeah. Exactly.
How long was that program?
It was a year.
Oh, okay.
I was there for a year. And It was amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. I was 21, 22, and never left home. So I just was like, I'm going to get an apartment in Paris.
Did you speak French? School.
I had spent my sophomore college year, a semester abroad with mm-hmm. a French family. Okay. So that's what sealed the deal. Made me I wanted to go back to France. Mm-hmm. I had to go back to France. But there, I was with a family. I was in that security of the university. And so then this time around, I was like, I'm just going to go to Paris, find an apartment and go to school, right?
Yeah.
Not
as warm and lovely.
Ugly. It was ugly. The first 2 weeks, I was going to maybe I need to leave. I don't belong here.
Oh, no.
Because I was staying at a hotel and mm-hmm. I was like, I need to find an apartment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the school doesn't help you, right? It just doesn't help you. So I was like, okay, I'm here in a hotel and I'm like, it's fine. I'll find an apartment, just a room to rent, something. Mm-hmm. And a week went by and I'm like, oh my God, I like school starting in a week and I don't have an apartment. How am I going to get settled in? What am I going to do? Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I would go to this agency, this apartment agency, where you go in and they post it all over their windows and apartment for rent and room for rent. Uh-huh. I'd go in it every day and I'm like, do you have a room for rent? What's mm-hmm. the one on the, oh, it's taken. I'm like,
then take it out of your window.
Yeah, right? And my last day where I was going to have a breakdown because I was on my own.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to have an apartment. You said that's there. You said they're coming up and why didn't come up? And then this man behind me taps me on the shoulder and he speaks perfect English. And he's like, excuse me, are you looking for an apartment? I'm like, yes. Yes, I'm looking for an apartment. He's like, well, I'm going to put up a studio. I'm going to submit it to them, but I don't have to. And I can just show you where it is.
And I was
perfect timing.
I'm like, oh yes, please. I like everything. I'm like, he's a stranger. It's okay. I'll follow him in his car. It's no problem. Let's go.
Did it ever go through your mind? Am I about to get kidnapped?
Yeah, I didn't care at that point. I was like, just find a home.
Just find a home. Wow. You're like, I'll take it.
Yeah, and it turned out to be this studio in Versailles. I was looking in Versailles because it was closest mm-hmm. to my school.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know Versailles, but it's this tiny little beautiful posh.
Beautiful. Mm. Do we know Versailles?
Yeah, sorry. Louis, I know, I get it. And so the studio was 2 blocks from the chateau.
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, Jesus loves me.
That is so cool.
Amazing.
So it was this tiny little studio.
Uh-huh.
And I took one train to get to school.
That's so
I was like, this is a gift. This is it. This is how it's going to start. Yeah. This is how it's going
to
go.
And then when you started school, was it what you expected it to be? I feel like we have an idea of culinary school from
France?
The commercials where people are chopping and they're happy and they're they have their aprons. Was it that or was it a little scarier?
It was like that, but it was all in French.
Which is your second or third language?
No, at that time it was one and a half language.
Yeah. But you quickly learned.
Yeah. I mean, you had to. It was like sink or swim, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But luckily every week it's topic because it's chocolate today. You're like, so I just need to know Chinese vocabulary, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know this. You know, we're good.
Like, got it.
Yeah, cacao. Okay, I got it. You know,
I got it.
So you just focus, and you know, there's a lot of international students. So you just ask them, like, what do you say? Oh, okay. Like, oh, what do you say?
Wow.
You know,
I would have sank. I would have really just.
I think I would have too. Yeah.
You know, when you're another like, language, it would have just glazed right over.
I just try and like watch what they're doing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of observation. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
How many kids were in your, or kids, how many adults were in your class? How many children were in your class at your fancy French school?
I think we were like a dozen. I think we were like 12 to 14.
Those are small. Okay.
Yeah. It was really small.
Yeah.
A really, really small school. And every day was like in class. It wasn't, we didn't have like theory and then practice. Like, you know, here it's really structured, right? So you have like 2 days of theory, you sit in for lecture, they lecture about temperatures and chemistry. And there it was just like old school, like stand here, let's do this, you know?
It's all practical.
Every day. Wow. Every day. Yeah. It was just like do
chop
stuff.
It again.
Yeah. You know, it was like, okay, you know. And so it was amazing. Like
yeah,
the best experience ever.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow.
Did you ever think that you wanted to stay there and continue cooking in France, or did you always know that you were going to come back
to
the
States? No, I always knew I wanted to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually. You know, I didn't want to leave as soon as I did, but visas and all that at the time, you know, you only have, like, as a student, it expires, and no one's going to sponsor you in France.
Mm. Yeah.
So
interesting. They have enough chefs in France.
Yeah, and they cost them money, so they're not going to do it.
Yeah. So how did you get from culinary school with learning everything to narrowing in on pastry?
Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do pastries.
You,
yeah.
From the beginning?
I knew it. Oh. But like, and École Nautique is known for its pastry program, but they do everything. Okay. So you have to go through the whole curriculum and learn savory as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can specialize. Mm-hmm. Like later on the program, you can choose classes that you want just for, you know, whatever you want to specialize in.
Okay. That's so cool. You always knew pastry.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Okay. For sure.
How hard is it to make a croissant?
It's pretty tricky.
Yeah.
Pound the butter.
It looks like tons and tons of layers.
It's about temperature. It's about temperature and the layering.
What's the hardest thing to make? Because I think of it as being a croissant.
Croissant.
Yeah, croissants are difficult. Macarons are difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like
all the tasty things with lots of butter.
Yeah,
seriously.
Butter. Well, talking about difficult, I mean, you went from culinary school and then you got a job in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Why Vegas?
Oh my gosh.
Apparently they have like a really good culinary
cooking
food
in Vegas.
Scene. Vegas. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, at the time, and this is like a long time ago, guys.
You were thrown in the deep end.
I'm pretty old, but my professor at school, his best friend was the executive pastry chef at Le Cirque in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Mm.
So he called me and he's like, hey, do you want to work in Las Vegas? My friend can give you a job. I'm like, oh, sure. I've never been to Las Vegas, but okay.
Great. You haven't been to Vegas yet.
I was like 22.
Wow.
And like, I was like,
22 in Vegas.
Yeah.
Wow.
I imagine my poor parents. They're like,
your poor parents.
Vegas?
My super Catholic parents who brought me over for a better life.
And you went to culinary school and then you moved to Vegas.
Vegas, right? The most sacrilegious, sinful place.
The most sinful place in America.
I could have done Vegas.
Got a really good job.
Were you single at the time, or had you met your husband?
No, yeah, I met my husband later in life. Yeah.
Single in Vegas, maybe.
But I was sheltered. I lived this sheltered Catholic life, so I was just like, I'm working, I get a job, and you know.
How many executive chefs and executive pastry chefs in the restaurants you worked in were women?
Well, the executives was
me. It was her. Yes. She's like, so there was the one.
Yeah,
it was
me. But I mean, all of your peers are male, right?
For the most part, they were. I've worked in, let me see, only one of my last jobs, there was a female chef de cuisine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the most part. They were female sous chefs, but like chef de cuisines, there weren't many.
Yeah, it's just the highest echelon of chefs, and maybe you can explain that for a minute, is what the ranking is and what it means.
Okay.
Because people don't necessarily know, but they're almost all male.
They are. I mean, it's gotten a lot better from the time when I went to culinary school, like way back when, and to now. You know, it's a lot more open. It's, you know, a lot fairer, I guess you want to say, and, you know, everyone's a little bit more sensitive to things and recognizes that equal talent, equal skills and things like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you start off with the executive chef, you know, and he's either the owner or, you know, like the guy that runs everything, like the director kind of thing. You have executive chef, and you have the chef de cuisine, and that guy's the hands-on that's always in the kitchen that runs the whole show.
Mm-hmm. He's there every night.
Yeah, ideally, you know. Mm-hmm. And he manages the team. So the chef de cuisine he can have an executive sous chef. It depends how big the restaurant is. You know, if you're talking about like small mom and pop, all you have is the owner and his sous chef. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
at Le Cirque or comparable.
And big things like that, you have the executive chef. Mm-hmm. And then under the executive chef, you have the chef de cuisine and the pastry chef. Mm-hmm. So it's like so executive chef, chef de cuisine, pastry chef, and then you have executive sous chef. Mm-hmm. And then sous chef. So maybe you have a couple sous chefs. Mm-hmm. And then you have line cooks. But you also, within the line cooks, you have chef de parties, which are the ones in charge of that station. And then you have his helpers. Okay. So it's very military built. You know, it's very structured in that hierarchical ranking. Mm-hmm. So that's why the environment always feels like military.
Mm. Yeah.
You answer to the one person ahead of you. And that person answers to the one ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh. And you're supposed to answer like, yes, chef.
Old school,
yeah.
Yes, but now, yeah. You still do, yes, chef.
Yeah. When I waited tables, we always said yes, chef. Yes. No, chef.
Because it's so hectic in the kitchen, you need to acknowledge that it was heard. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like the importance of it. Yeah, chef. Mm-hmm. Got it. Uh-huh.
Or they scream heard.
Yeah, heard. We chef. Heard. We chef. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We chef.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh my god,
fascinating.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I would be like a disgruntled sous chef. We chef.
We chef.
Oh, you get that? Oh, no, you would never.
Heard.
What'd dishes. You say? You know, like, it'd be like, huh?
We chef, yeah. We. What else do you need, chef? How high?
So when you were in Vegas, you worked at Guy Savoie.
I did. Sure that was my last, right? Yeah, that was my last big position.
Yes, and you were executive pastry chef there while they received 2 Michelin stars.
Wow.
What was that like? Is thrilling. It like the movie Burnt?
Like the movie what?
Burnt. Have you seen that? Seen That's it. The one, right, Miles? With Bradley Cooper and Sienna Miller.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either. He like goes wild trying to get this Michelin star, and you kind of get a little background of what goes into it, because there's so many levels of like from service to food.
Yes, from the grading levels, for sure.
Because I worked at a place that did Forbes, but not, there was no Michelin. So it was a little
sad
softer,
about that.
But still a lot of things you had to do
or
you would...
For sure. And that was for Guy Savoie, because he had a 3-star in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It was kind of like, okay, we need to translate everything to Las Vegas and we need to make it the same. We want 3 stars.
Okay.
You know, and he had that 3 stars for years, if not decades, you know. And we opened one and we emulated that one. We're like to the T, like the service, the food, the menu, everything. We tried to make it, you know, the same. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. It's, you know, it's just this like, it becomes so much pressure, it just becomes part of your day. You just work in pressure, you know? Mm-hmm. And you work the long hours and you're just like, oh, that's not right. Oh, throw it away, let's do it again. Oh, you know? It's just like getting things perfect.
And what earned you a Michelin star? Like, what are some of the criteria that you're trying to
achieve? I mean, it's very much about service. Very, very much about service and about the food, that it's, you know, impeccable, that it's perfect. Everything's cooked to temperature. Everything's, mm-hmm. you know, it's all by the grading system, you know, like by mm-hmm. taste and the presentation and consistency. Mm-hmm. They come mm-hmm. back multiple times to see if it's mm-hmm. the same experience. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, it's all these kinds of things. They look at your, they'll judge you. I don't know if they actually tell you, but like they'll judge you by your glassware and your plates and okay. your china, wow. you know.
Every choice.
Yeah, yeah,
because if something's it's on the floor elite. And you walk by it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just grading about an overall experience, and it's just about okay. having that uber elite experience.
And how many can you get? Five?
Three.
Three
is the max. Three is the max. So when you get one, you're like, oh my God. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, yeah. like yeah. getting one is awesome.
Okay.
Like, yeah. you're
and he had three in Paris.
Yeah, three in Paris.
And how many did you guys get in Vegas?
We got two.
Mm-hmm. How did yeah. that go?
Well, it was after a year, and we'd been like pushing so hard, and like mm-hmm. we knew Michelin was coming. They were coming to Las Vegas for the first time, and like we were gearing up for it. Like everything had to be perfect, everything, you know. We were working mm-hmm. long mm-hmm. hours, and we're like, Guy wants three stars. We got to get this, you know, coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the ratings came in, and we got two stars after our first year. Mm-hmm. And the whole team, we were like, oh my God, we got two stars. This is amazing. Like,
yes.
I mean, just this two stars. We're in Las Vegas. You know, people don't look at Las Vegas as a serious yeah. place to eat, you know?
You're not in right. Milan, you're not in Paris.
Yeah, right. you know? Yeah. So we were like, oh my God, we got two yeah. stars, it's amazing. And then Giuseppe gathers us up and he's like, I am so disappointed in you guys.
Oh no! Oh my gosh. Like,
what more do you want?
He wanted yeah. three.
Yeah, he wanted three.
Wow.
He wanted three.
He's chasing a very specific dream.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And so how long were you in Vegas?
In total, 8 years.
8 years. Mm-hmm. And then what made you decide to come back to California?
The recession hit. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I kind of, you know, thought it was time. And then the recession coupled with that, I was like, you know what? This is a sign. Like, it's time to go, you
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when poor Vegas took a huge hit. Mm-hmm. Like, cause that's their only industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's like yeah. tourism.
Yeah.
So the recession and then like the housing market crashing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was particularly bad in Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When you say the recession, you mean when the pandemic started?
No.
No.
No. It was like
2008.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. Mm-hmm. So I decided to come home. You know, I think it was about time. Mm-hmm. 8 years. Mm-hmm. 8 years in Vegas is good enough for me. Yeah. Get back down to earth.
So you're in LA, or you're in, did you go back to the Orange County, back to Long Beach?
I went to LA first.
LA first. Oh, so you're yeah. in LA. Uh-huh. What do you do with?
I hang out for a little bit.
I feel like I took a break.
Well.
I
relaxed.
And then I opened a little restaurant with my best friend in West wow. Hollywood.
Okay, that sounds like a dream. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it a dream?
No, no.
I opened a restaurant with my best friend.
It sounds glorious, but no, it was a lot of work, you yeah. know, and we didn't know what we were doing, honestly. I mean, yeah. it was great. It was, you know, we had a lot of press, and it was successful in that sense, mm-hmm. you know, but for a business to be really successful, like, you have to be able to sustain it, and mm-hmm. it was just us, and we were, like, grinding, you know? We were,
yeah.
like, and we learned a lot from it, and we were on the brink of moving it to another location, then, you know, mm. things happen and it just falls through, you know.
Okay.
But, mm-hmm. And then I'm stuck. I'm like, maybe I don't do this anymore. Like, what am I going to do? You know, yeah. I've been doing this for a long time, and what the heck am I going to do? So I had opportunity to go back to France.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I went back to France to do a stage. I don't know if you know mm-hmm. what that is, but that's yeah. like an internship in, mm-hmm. in okay. the kitchen,
okay.
right? You literally just work for free, and you work and get back into like the groove, and uh-huh, you know, a lot yeah. of interns, people come out of school, go do stages for free, and you just mm-hmm. you work in kitchens, see if you like it, so you get a job there and whatnot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a hookup, and I went to the south of France. I went okay. to Aix-en-Provence. Yeah, pretty yeah. nice, right?
Yes.
For you have 8 weeks, nice friends.
Yeah.
No, thank God. So I went to Aix-en-Provence for 8 weeks. I was hooked uh-huh. up with a very well-known pastry chef mm-hmm. Who has three shops in Provence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked in his lab
okay.
with his team.
Mm-hmm. His just, lab?
Yeah, like it's like his commissary kitchen, maybe.
Okay,
like
sure.
they call it a lab in France. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like okay. a commissary kitchen mm-hmm. Where he makes everything, and they deliver it to three shops mm-hmm. in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, let me get back in the grind. Like,
yeah.
why not? You know?
Yeah.
And I worked in his shop, and oh my God. It was so hard after being a chef for so long and like managing people and doing menus, but not necessarily grinding like a cook, like just straight out of school cook, you know? Yeah. That's what it was. And that's why I signed up for it, you know? Like, I just came in as me. I didn't like, you know, no presumption. It's just, I'm here to do a stash and I'm going to help you do your stuff. Oh my God, got my butt kicked.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. It was like these 18-year-old kids pumping out cakes all day long, right? And I'm like trying to keep up. I'm like, wow. Oh my God, yeah. I was like,
I'm not 18.
I'm like, I thought I was good at this, but oh my God, you're really good. And no one stopped. It was like 10 hours of just
going.
Just like, baking. Yeah, it was like old school. Just like, no one took a break. There's no like, no one enforces those kind of laws, you know? It's like, no breaks. I'm like, 10 hours, I need to eat something. You know, like, how many cake corners can I eat?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it was genuinely like that. I was like,
on cake.
Oh, I'm like, I got the shakes from sugar. I'm like, I'm so hungry.
You're like cutting out biscuits and you're just eating.
Yeah, the corners. I'm like, that's too flat. You know,
like I'm no so one else hungry. Needs a salad or something. Some water.
You got an avocado toast. What's going on here, you know?
There's just one baguette going around the kitchen. Everybody's like,
no, they didn't even eat. I was like, I'm like, don't you guys eat? And they're like, no, we won't finish the list if we eat.
And you're like, oh my gosh.
Okay, let's go and do this too, where people generally see it as like a sign of weakness if you take a break, if you go
eat,
you know, in a kitchen. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
You need to do it like quick. You need to do it right now and be done.
I mean, thank God now for like California law, it sounds like you must take your break or this company's gonna get penalized. So
I was just like, we're coming in.
Exactly. You know, but it's like, oh my God. This is real hard.
How long did that last?
I did that for 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Just going in the morning and working. And, you know, and it like brought me back to my roots. It was like, you know, it just kind of like reminded me that I'm good at this and I like it. And that's what I'm going to do. You know?
Wow, I love the idea of honing skills like that. I'm going to show up and just like get back to my like skills and like get them out there.
Yeah.
And then coming back.
It was tough.
And when you say go in the morning, I imagine that you're going in at like 3 a.m.
It was 4.
It was 4 a.m. Yeah. Right. Because when you're baking, you have to get it done early, early in the morning so that you can, get those croissants out at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a grind. It was great. It was a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just imagining what that would be like in the like film industry, going back to like just kind of grinding it out. You know, like if you're an executive producer and you're managing all these people and then you're like, I'm going to go back to being a grip or a camera operator or, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it, for me anyway, it would be more like going in and doing like 8 short films in 8 weeks. Like, let's go, no money. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. Let's shoot these 8 crazy concepts. Uh-huh. Let's go. Just kind of like Try Guys all the time. It's not that far off.
So how did you go from doing the stage in France to opening your own baking company? That seems like big.
Well, there was like 5 years between that.
Okay, keep walking us through. So you do this.
I do that. And so I get back and now I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Now, I was older. I was a little bit wiser. You know, I knew what I wanted to do and where I wanted to do it and like the environment that I wanted. There was no more the BS, the disrespect, you know, just I didn't need that anymore. I'm over that. And that's kind of it's an old school way of thinking. And it's time to be more progressive, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, and it's ineffective. You get people nervous, scared, and they're not producing the best, you know? Just like any environment, right? You feel well in your environment, you're going to produce and you're going to be well and do well. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be really picky where I go. You know, wherever I go next, it's going to be like a good place. I don't need any more old school
good
BS,
you
know?
Mm-hmm. No more divas.
Yeah, I didn't need that. You know, I was like, I don't need you. It's okay.
I don't need you. I did the stage. I'm unstoppable.
Yeah. I eat cake quarters for 10 hours. Can you do that and not die from the shakes, okay?
I'd like to see you do that.
So I reached out to recruiters and this recruiter, he called me and he's like, I got a great position for you. I was like, okay. And, you know, he explained it to me and it was for David Lefevre, who's an incredible chef. And I didn't really know about him. He was in Manhattan Beach. And I was all about West Hollywood and like LA. And I didn't, you know, even though it's literally like 15 miles away, you know.
I know. But
a different world than LA.
There's a real east side, west side, middle part of LA. It's funny, right?
It's so strange. So I went down there for a first interview. And I was like, what is this place? Manhattan Beach is glorious. It's so beautiful. It's like a true beach city. Like people walk around in bikinis holding surfboards. Yeah. They walk into the coffee shop like half naked. And you're like, if you did that on 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica, they'd be like, put some clothes on. You're not nearly at the beach, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
But there it was like beach city and it was like people were happy. That. And I was like, how come I've never heard of this place? There's something wrong with me.
I grew up in the OC.
There's something wrong with me. So, you know, I applied, long story short, like I did a bunch of tastings, went through
it. What is a tasting? Okay, walk us through it. Hold on. When you apply, do you have to audition by cooking?
Yes. For any like leadership position, yeah.
Yes.
It's not a pleasant experience. I wouldn't say that, you know, like a lot of chefs say, yeah, you know, I'm going to do it, I'm going to kill it, I'm going to do all my great stuff. And like, it's not pretty. You know, you have to make a list of things you want. You have to give them a grocery list. And you go into a kitchen beforehand. Mm-hmm. You prep out, but you're in a place you don't know.
Right.
They give you a spot. Sometimes it's a great spot to work. Sometimes it's like a corner where you're sharing with like the salad guy and you're like, oh, geez, you know? And you're just trying to prep your menu out so that you can present the next day.
And are you choosing the menu or are they telling
you? It depends. It depends, you know.
So for this one, were they like, we want you to make
this one, they gave me
cake.
Yeah. Whatever. And this one was like a two-part. I had never been in one that was like a two-part tasting where it's like, okay, if you pass this part, then you go into the next part and do another tasting.
Mm. Okay.
It's like, good grief.
And what sort of things did they have you make?
So like the first one was about just breads and quick breads. Okay. So it was like, make us a biscuit, a country bread, you know, some kind of like donut, some, you know, it was just doughs. And then, so I came in, I did the interview and they said, okay, we'd like to invite you for an audition, you know, so like great. So I go in and it's always tough. You know, you go in these places, you don't know the kitchen, you don't know the equipment, you don't know how the oven works. Is it hot? Is it, you know?
Right. And other people are there running the restaurant while you're there.
So you're sharing spaces and it's not the ideal, you know? It's like someone, you're trying to film a movie and someone's filming in the same set. And you're like, can I borrow that corner for a second? Well, yeah. You know, it's like that.
No, that's and so tough.
You're waiting for a mixer because someone else is using it, you know?
Oh my gosh. And how long do they give you?
It all depends. Ideally, though, for pastry, it's like you prep one day and you present the next day because things need to get set and they get it cold. You know, you can't just, it's not like cooking where you can just sear it off and like hand it to them, you know? So typically you get a day to prep.
Okay.
And then you present.
Okay. You're so, just working by yourself. Everyone else is working kind of together as a team.
Yeah, you're on your own. This is your this is your audition, you know? And normally they're good about giving, you know, you space. And this last audition I did, they were amazing. They gave me all my ingredients on a speed rack and they gave me my space and like whatever you need, let us know, you know, like so it was great, like it was really, really
and then you present and do you is it like Top Chef, do you watch them eat it and tell them what you baked for them?
You bring it out. There's like there's like, you know, a few of them, the executive team or whatnot, and you present to them, you tell them what it is and you leave. Because they eat and then they discuss amongst themselves.
Okay. It's not like without a recipe where they're just like,
it is like
ripping you apart and eating. And you know what you're doing.
No, they just tell you then, no, you didn't get the job. Yeah.
Gotcha. And then you go home and they'll call you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, you know, they'll love to bring you back when you're done presenting everything. Mm-hmm. They'll do another another interview, ask you how you think you did and, you know, all that stuff. Okay. And then they're like, okay, well, we'll let you know.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
That is so nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, it's not pleasant. No matter, you know, how experienced or however many you've done in your life, they're still unpleasant, I think. Yeah.
Like, something could go wrong.
Yeah. Oh, everything goes wrong. Oh, my gosh. You couldn't believe everything goes wrong.
You started questioning yourself. You're like, oh my God, did I do it right?
Yeah. I wanted to walk out. At one point, I was like, oh, my God, I'm humiliated. I got to walk out. I can't even finish. I can't present this. If I present this, this is probably worse than walking out. I just walk out.
Chef Wynn has left the building, but there are some baguettes over here if you want to try them.
No, it's really tough.
Yeah.
But thankfully, you got the job.
Yes. I got the job. Yeah. So after two tastings later, I got the job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I spent 5 wonderful years with Chef David.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that restaurant like? Was it a was it more pleasant?
Oh, my God. It was like sunshine and rainbows.
Wow.
And I ran it was my first time running 3 units. So I ran his restaurant groups. Dessert program. So we had 3 restaurants and I had a team.
Okay.
So we produced for all 3 restaurants. And it was just, it really, I mean, what they've built there was just a great company culture, you know, really high standards, passionate people. You know, we really like weeded out, you know, disrespect. And it was just a really like it was a change of scenery for me.
Coming from
such rough environments, it was like, oh my God, why is everyone so happy here? You know, it's really nice. And this is why you're so successful, because it shows in your food and people enjoy it. And, you know, it's like a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's sunshine and rainbows.
Uh-huh.
And then March 2020 happens. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, and then
that great cloud kind of dampens that rainbow.
The cloud came, and places that were hit especially hard were restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the beginning, because we were always busy as a restaurant group. Mm-hmm. But then we started seeing our banquets get canceled, and we're like, this weird. Like, this doesn't look good. This is maybe more serious than we know, you know?
Yeah.
And then we had one big restaurant meeting, which we rarely have. So we're like, oh, something's up. This is not good. Mm-hmm. And surely enough, my boss, who was so heartbroken to tell us that we were all furloughed.
And furloughed, what does that mean?
So at the time, you know, nobody knew how bad the virus was, right? So he was like, well, with the mandates, everything's being shut down.
Yep.
So we don't have business. We don't have, you know, guests, which means we don't have revenues coming in. So we're going to close our restaurants for temporarily until we see where it evolves, right? So he's like, minimum 30 days.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see from there. And it was still like optimistic, right? Okay, we'll see from there. Yeah.
30 days. I think we closed our offices for 2 weeks to start and then another 2 weeks.
Yeah, and just kept getting extended. We just
then another maybe a month. And then, you know, because no one knew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was a shock. Like, because my husband also works in the industry, in the same restaurant group.
Wow.
Not with me, but my restaurant group, there was 10 restaurants. And I worked for three main ones. And he worked for the other branch, the other side of it.
Is that how you met?
No, we met.
We want the romance.
I know,
we want the romance story.
Tell us.
Well, we met at a restaurant event.
Okay.
And this is before he worked for the same restaurant group. I don't know if you've ever been to those charity events, those food events where there's restaurants. We do it as a charity, like we bring samples of our food and people buy tickets to come in and like they taste all the city's restaurants
and those tickets
go to charity, you know?
I'd be into that.
There's like Meals on Wheels and there's like a lot of different charities that, you know, you do for.
Okay, when those come back, you let us know.
We're going.
It's
a date.
You literally just walk out. It's like a food festival, you know, and like all these restaurants give you samples of their food.
Amazing.
And, so I was standing there like, passing out hundreds of slices of cake. Right? Uh-huh. I was representing our restaurant group. I was standing there and my husband was attending.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew my coworker who was standing with me.
Mm-hmm.
They were just chatting. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he owned a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just chatting like, hi, you want some cake? Like, I'm just giving out hundreds of cake, like half cake, you know, like, and I'm oblivious to a lot of things. And so whatever, I met him. And then like later that week, my girlfriend, she was like, hey, you want to go over to Jeff's restaurant for a drink, you know, check out his new restaurant. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure.
Who? One of the hundreds of guys I give cake to?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Sure. I'm like, a drink? Yes. Okay. No problem. So we go there. And we have, you know, he's there and he's super sweet and hospitable and like spends all his time with us and like
this
showers us with food.
You didn't know.
I'm an idiot.
Was it totally a setup?
I'm an idiot.
Oh my God.
So yeah, and then I'm still at the whole time. I'm just standing there enjoying my drink and like eating him.
Oh, eating your feast? Just and you're like, wow, he's so nice.
I'm like, oh, what a nice guy.
So stupid.
And then I leave and my girlfriend, she's like, oh, well, I have to go have a date. And I'm like, I thought I was your date. What do you mean? You're leaving for a date?
Oh, that's a good friend.
Yeah, that's a good friend. That's a good friend.
I was like, okay. But then, so at the end, I left and he was like, can I walk you to your car? And I was like,
was this a date?
I'm so slow, right? So I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so it turned out, like, after he had met me at that event, he texted her. He was like, bring her to my restaurant.
I will feed her. I will move her.
I'm going to shower her with food and drink.
Like, I'm so
That's blessed. A good move.
Yeah.
That seriously. Works.
Yeah, no, he. Yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah, he's good.
It obviously all worked out in the end.
Yes.
And so now you have two kids.
Yes, we have two kids.
Wow. The youngest is, you said, a year and a half?
A year and a half. Yeah. My girl is 3 and a half.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that must have been like really scary for you during when you were furloughed and everything. Furloughed and your baby was like what? Like
7 months.
Yeah.
Seven months.
Oh my God.
gosh.
Yeah. But, you know, in the beginning, we like for the first couple weeks, like, this is so fun. Because we were working opposite schedules. Jeff, mm-hmm. my husband, Jeff and I, you know, mm-hmm. he was working nights because he's front of the house. So he's a general mm-hmm. manager. Mm-hmm. And I was working early mornings as a baker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So like,
and you were just swapping off the childcare,
like, basically. And like, my little girl was going to preschool, mm-hmm. and then someone would come to the house to watch my son, wow. and we just kind of like, you know, it was like a juggling.
That's so hard. Yeah.
It was so hard. So the first 2 weeks of furlough, we're like, okay, sucks. We don't have any money, and we just bought a house, but it's fine. We're here and we're hanging out, you know. And it's like for the first time, we were like intense family time. Yeah. It was so nice, so nice. And then we realized we weren't getting our jobs back.
Yeah.
They're like, dang it, this is going to be bad. And all along, you know, like after a month and a half or so, I started sending cookies and treats to like our family and friends because mm-hmm. we hadn't seen anybody. It was just kind of depressing and we couldn't go
You're
anywhere.
Just baking at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, was sending out stuff. And everyone just loved it. It was such a great response.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff and I were like, maybe we can do something. You know, we can do something about this. We're home. We might as well try something, you know?
Uh-huh.
And all we needed was like, flour and me, so
right, flour and me.
So we started Kirsch Baking Company.
Uh-huh. So tell us what that is.
So it's an online bakery. Right uh-huh. now, we specialize in cookies that we ship nationwide.
Okay.
Yes.
Amazing. So cool.
And we specialize in, you know, like the classics, and we have mm-hmm. A whole line of gluten and dairy free cookies okay. as well, and everything ships everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And occasionally, I mean, we're looking for a storefront right now,
mm-hmm.
But we do pop-ups.
Okay.
And like every cool. major holiday, we did like yeah. Thanksgiving, we did Christmas, mm-hmm. we did Valentine's, and right now we're doing a Mother's Day one.
Yeah.
So we pop up with other businesses in mm-hmm. Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone does like a pre-order on mm-hmm. our website,
okay.
And then they pick up in Long Beach.
Very cool.
That's yeah. really fun.
And so you guys just started baking out of your home,
yeah.
started your small business,
yeah.
and started shipping it out. And yeah. what did it take to like make that a real business? Did you start an Instagram account for it? Did you
oh my gosh, yeah,
develop
yeah.
a website? Oh,
did you have to have like the health inspector come if you were
yeah,
doing
it in
your
Yeah, I had a cottage license already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because I had done something prior during my maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
But I was cooking from home for a little while, but mm-hmm. it was impossible to keep up, like in your little oven, like you can only
yeah.
do like 9 cookies at a time. You know, you want to kill
right,
yourself.
Right.
When it went beyond like our family orders and our uh-huh. friends' orders, I was like, I can't do this. Like we have to find a solution. So I mm-hmm. rented a commercial kitchen.
Okay.
And it's not like a full blown commercial kitchen, but it's a place where almost kind of like a ghost kitchen where there are multiple stations and mm-hmm. you can rent them
mm-hmm.
and they're fully equipped and they're fully licensed and permitted,
cool.
you know,
yeah.
and there's space more than yeah. anything. There's mm-hmm. space and there's like a double door oven. So
and
you
there
can
are
actually
no
like,
small children yeah. near the oven.
Oh my God.
Trying to eat the
no,
cookies.
I became uh-huh. a vampire. I'd wait till my kids went to bed and then bake.
And then start baking.
Oh,
and then
no.
I would finish at 3 a.m. and my kids uh-huh. would wake up at 7.
Oh my gosh.
So no. yeah, the pandemic has aged sleep. Me drastically.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
yes,
my
I
God.
Agree.
Yeah. Like it was vampire mode. It was
okay.
That's
too hard.
Yeah, and my poor husband, he'd be working the website and he'd like uh-huh. I'd find him falling asleep on the desk.
Oh my God.
It was a grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was all worth it because we could actually be with them during the day and
uh-huh.
you know, it was just like a trade off.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So you had to have a website and
yeah.
your husband did that part?
Yeah, because it was the, like the heart of the pandemic. So we had yeah. like a designer that we mm-hmm. would, you know, Zoom with,
mm-hmm.
But he did all the photos, you know, like we styled everything ourselves because we weren't going to
yeah.
have anybody come to our
right.
home.
Because yeah. I'm wondering about the process from being like, I'm a baker, I mm-hmm. could sell things, to let me figure out how to tell the people that I've started this small business, here are things
oh my
you
gosh.
Can purchase.
Yeah.
Because that's a big jump
oh
from
gosh,
like, I have a skill or a product.
Really mm-hmm. hard.
Do I have a business?
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I only bake. Like Jeff does everything else. He does like logistics. He does website. He
uh-huh.
does, you know, finances, invoice. He does
uh-huh.
all that.
He's
I just
using
bake.
Those GM skills.
Yeah, yeah. He's GM. And he used to work on Wall Street. He became, he was on Wall Street before he came to okay. the restaurant industry. And I was like, why? Why did you leave?
Yeah. You're like, go back.
Yeah.
Go back.
He's like, well, I would have never met you. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Good point.
Right. You're
good
right.
point.
You're right.
That's the only point.
And you made a special cookie just for him, too, right?
Yes.
Yes.
What is
yes,
what's the Jeff cookie?
Yes.
So it started off with that was the Jeff's cookie. So when we first started dating, mm-hmm. As a pastry chef, you know, I was like,
Yeah, how do you date someone who can't have?
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh,
so you were feeding him.
I was sending, like, every time I'd see him, I'd make him a cake, a pastry, a cheesecake. And he'd
dating
be like, oh,
you
my
is
gosh.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
I know. Oh, my
yeah,
goodness.
And he'd eat it all. Wow. It's no problem. He would eat it like, oh, thank you so much. Oh, another one. And, like, his fridge was full of, like, half-eaten desserts, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, honestly, probably not until, like, 2 months later, I find out somehow, and, like, in passing, that he's dairy intolerant, and it makes him sick. And I was like, in my mind, it starts going like, oh my God, I made you like cheesecake. I made you buttercream. I made you brownies. I made you like everything that had dairy. I'm like, I almost killed you. What are you doing? You know, like, why would you? He's like, oh, because it was so good. It was worth it. I'm like,
oh no.
Oh my God. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy crap. You must really love me. So
that's when you knew.
For sure. So I created the Jeff's cookie, which is gluten and dairy free. It didn't he can eat gluten, but it just coincidentally was gluten as well. And it's like this really rich, dark, brownie kind of cookie, but it's only has like 4 ingredients.
Wow.
Super clean. There's no like weird substitutes or anything. It's just really, really clean. And nobody knows that it's dairy and gluten free. We bring it to parties now and like, what? This is, you know, because it doesn't taste like that funny, like chalky kind of dietary restricted kind of dessert. It's just like
the
a brownie.
Aftertaste.
Yeah, it's like a brownie cookie. That's all it is, you know. But
what is your secret to perfect cookies? Chocolate chip and vegan, any or not vegan, dairy free. Like what is your
Because it's only secret? 4 ingredients, it has to be really good ingredients. So like I use like Varona cocoa powder and that's like, you know, so it has flavor, structure, you know, it's always consistent. So it helps when you have so few ingredients on such a simple cookie. It has to be good ingredients.
Okay, so your secret is quality ingredients.
Got it. Has Kirsch Baking Company really grown over the last year? Because now it's been open for a year. Have you seen like growth, or has it been slower?
You know, it's been, you know, initially when we first started, we got a lot of press, and it was amazing. Like we were overwhelmed by the press. I mean, we were.
Yes, I've Googled you.
Oh, man, thank you.
I've Googled you. So I've seen some of them. It was very exciting.
It was very unexpected. It just became like this, it was like this ripple effect where we, you know, we got like on the paper and then we got on the news and then we were on GMA. It was just like this crazy, like just, it just came and we were like, wow, this is, thank you so much. I don't know where it's coming from, but thank you, you know? And so we were scrambling though because we were not expecting it to do that well. And so we didn't have all our structures in place. We didn't have, you know, like the website was a little wonky sometimes. We're like, oh God, is it, you know, like it's glitching. What's going on, you know? And during the pandemic, it's not the easiest to get help and service. Like people aren't that available and nor do they want to be. And so it was like a huge learning curve to get, you know, where we are today. And I think we're a lot more polished today than we are, you know, we were back then. It was a scramble, but it was an amazing, amazing roller coaster for us, and it set us up for what we are today. So we've definitely seen growth, and we've seen, you know, our goal now is just more exposure for people to understand where we are, who we are, you know, what we offer, and hopefully, you know, they see the quality of what we're trying to offer.
Do you have any advice for anyone else that's listening out there, thinking about starting their own business in the what we're hoping is the end of this pandemic?
I think if it's something you really want to do, and that, you know, that it's fear that's holding you back, I think you should just let it go. Because we saw the worst of, I mean, the pandemic, I mean, no one ever expected that. We never know what's going to happen in the future. So you might as well live to your fullest and to your fullest potential. Because you don't want to regret it, you know? And the worst case, you go back to what you were doing, you know? If you just put your heart into this, probably will do well.
Love that.
I like that.
Love that.
If you could go back to your younger self who was going to pastry school in France and give her any advice, what would you say? Because I think a lot of people are like, you know, when you look back on your 10 or 20 year trajectory, I wonder what you would like tell yourself.
Oh my gosh, so much. So much. Like one, you're stupid. You know? Yeah, slow down.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I think I was always so focused on like climbing the ladder. And what I do is a vocation and it's about hands and about your craft. So I would have told myself like, slow down. You know, you can take more positions at a lower position and learn more. learn mm-hmm. as much as you can before you start taking those bigger positions. You know, I think I took my first chef position at like 26. And I think looking back, like I was probably too young for that position. Mm-hmm. I struggled. Mm-hmm. You know, my team, some of my team was, they were a lot older than me. And it was hard to, I didn't have management skills honed in. Yeah. So, you know, it was like, yeah, okay, I was good at pastries, but I have a team to manage. Mm-hmm. And if I don't speak to them correctly, if I don't train them correctly, you know, you can't succeed. Because once you become a chef, it's not about just being a chef. Mm-hmm. It's about the people. It's mm-hmm. about keeping your team trained and happy and understanding, you know, how to maintain a culture mm-hmm. that they'll thrive in. Mm-hmm. So at 26, all you care about is like, I'm great at pastries. I'm a chef, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But you can't make every single croissant.
Exactly. You have to, and you have to be yeah. able to train people and speak to people correctly uh-huh. To get them to produce for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We absolutely. Chef.
Yeah, yeah, chef.
Can I open this box for you?
Please
yes.
do.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. I've been wanting that. To open it. Yeah. I was like, okay, there's I'll wait, Maggie, just calm down. Here. Yes, yeah. There's a box of cookies sitting here, and I've been eyeballing them, but I don't want to be the first one to crack them open.
It so. Is sitting right in front of you, Maggie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Looking at when she said too. There's a dairy-free cookie in there, and it's delicious.
Time to start.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I still like, I'll still eat cookies. It's okay.
Maggie, I'm actually, sick. I make when, enough people sick in my life.
when Maggie first met her fiance, Zach, yes. they, they're both dairy intolerant and yep. they went out for ice cream.
Yep.
So,
we wanted to keep hanging out. But
she absolutely understands when you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
You couldn't just have sorbet?
I know, right? I think that the place we went to didn't offer. It was like an ice cream sandwich cookie place.
Oh,
so it was like
dagger.
Very, yeah. very old school flavors. And
So I brought for you ladies my Mother's Day collection.
Awesome. Yum. Which we will all be ordering.
We're all ordering for our moms.
Yeah.
Which is available on your website right yes. now, which uh-huh. is
kirschbakingcompany.com. Mm-hmm. And ships nationwide.
Okay.
So in this box, we
I know that's so cute.
Okay. So
these are beautiful.
Thank you.
So individually wrapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Individually wrapped. Okay. So they stay fresh, and you know it's COVID happy and yeah, all yeah. that stuff. But more anything is for the freshness. So, so from a Mother's Day collection, I have some of our favorites. It's our oatmeal cherry.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, a lemon amazing. Poppy.
Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, right. Yum. It feels Mother Day-ish.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
mint double chocolate brownie.
I will be eating that
chewy,
one.
Super minty. And then strawberry chocolate macarons.
Oh, oh cute.
Yeah.
So sweet.
They're so beautiful, too.
I love it.
And then for the first time ever, I decided to make it like a complete package. You know, uh-huh. this is our first year anniversary, and this is Mother's Day, and, mm-hmm. you know, moms were awesome. So,
yes. Crushing.
So we deserve something really cool. So I partnered with a very good friend of mine who's an awesome craftswoman, mm-hmm. and she pours soy candles.
Cute.
Oh, I love that. So, I was wondering what was in that yeah. little pot.
So yeah. She hand pours all these natural soy candles here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. This is Lily of the Valley because it's my favorite mm. scent. And this burns for over 20 hours.
Oh, wow.
So nice. Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
And it smells
delicious.
Oh, my gosh. It smells so good, guys. You gotta smell it.
Okay.
You can,
I'm getting this for my mom and yeah. my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Because you're always like, oh, I have to get them something. What do they want? People want cookies.
Yes.
Yeah, people want cookies.
People want cookies.
Yeah.
Moms want cookies.
I got cookies, guys.
Moms want cookies.
But this
candles.
Is for you. This is all for you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Thank you. Thank you. Moms also want some time by themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what your mom wants, by the way.
Actually, Ned told me that the other day. He was like, so what do you want to do for Mother's Day? Do you want to just, like, get a hotel? And I was like, wow, what? Really?
By myself?
Oh, yeah, yes, I would.
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I was just sitting here with a bunch of friends talking.
A literal treat.
That's an actual treat.
Yeah. Wait, so how many people do you have working for you now?
You know, it's often I have people like on my roster because yeah. we're seasonal. I don't want to be seasonal, but like, you know, we have certain times. So I have like a couple regulars, and then uh-huh. when we get really busy, then I have other people call in to help, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're not doing the like 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. anymore?
Oh, yeah, still sometimes.
You absolutely are. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I do the, because we have a nanny, but we only have a part time nanny.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So like when I don't have her, then I mm-hmm. watch my son and then a oh, night owl.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, at one point when I was still, because eventually what happened during the pandemic was like we got furloughed and then the mandates came were lifted for temporarily, right? Mm-hmm. It was like off and on, off mm-hmm. and on. So I got my job back.
Okay.
But my daughter's school didn't open.
Oh, great.
So I was like there for part time. Uh-huh. But I, you know, like there were days where I'm like, I can't because nobody's watching my kids and we still don't have a nanny in the house because it was still too early.
Right. Yeah.
So then I was like kind of part time and then I was still doing the cookie business. So like I would bake at 3 and then go to work at 4.
Oh my God.
To my other job.
So you had the cookie business, childcare for your kids, and a job sometimes in a restaurant.
Wow. I did at one point where I was about to really jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
Because some nights I was like, okay, I'm done here. But then now I have to like get it together and then go with be my team in my other job.
Yeah.
Three full-time jobs.
A lot of like shifting of mindset.
Yeah. And like acting like everything's fine.
And when did you sleep?
Never.
Never. Wow. You can't live like that.
No. That's why eventually I left my like stable job.
Yeah.
Just because it was so hard with my daughter's school not being open. And then when they reopened, it was only part-time. So then I was like asking my boss for like accommodations. And I never was that person. I never called out. I never, like we would get emails the day before. Like, a staff got infection. The school is closed tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm scheduled to work. And so you make that call and you're like, I'm sorry, but I can't come into work. There's no school. Like,
here you are on the other side of it. I know.
You've absolutely made the best of
it. You absolutely hung on through the most taxing year in the restaurant industry ever, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Very
congratulations. Impressive. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I couldn't have done it without Jeff. I mean, that guy's like, he's incredible. And he watches the kids when I'm baking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does nap time, bath time, bedtime. Aww. Like, when I'm away, you know, so he's a soldier.
It was so good to have you on With a Recipe. And now it's so good to have you here. And the next step is I feel like we all should just go out for drinks, you know. just ourselves, just to hang out. I think
that's a natural transition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what's next for us, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I can tell you the nasty stories.
Yes.
Please, once the cameras cut.
We want the tea. Yeah. We want all the tea. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to sit with us.
My pleasure.
And listeners, if you are in need of a Mother's Day gift, please check out KirschBakingCo.com. Mm-hmm. Order yourself a box for you and your loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for sitting with us this week, guys. Be sure to email our podcast email address at youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.